Philippians chapter number 2. And if you need a handout, lift your hand up real high. Our ushers would be glad to give you one if they missed you on the way in. Philippians chapter number 2. Okay, if we miss, there's some hands back here, guys. Straight back, John. Anyone else we missed? If I were to say to you this morning, the grass is blue and the sky is green, what would you do? Yeah, you'd laugh, right. Wait a minute, I think you got that backwards, Pastor Dan. And you know, that would be backwards. And Jesus had a way of teaching principles that seem backwards. For example, look in your handout. Look in your handout at Matthew chapter 20. Verses 26 and 27, he said, "But it shall not be so among you," he told the 12. "But whosoever will be," notice that next word, "whosoever will be" what? "Great among you." Then he says, "Let him be your minister." "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your" what? "Servant." Your servant. Jesus said, "You want to be great? All right, I'll tell you how to be great. Tell you how to achieve greatness. Sacrifice and give of yourself to others." Look at the screen and notice what he said in Matthew 23:11. "But he that is greatest among you shall be your" what? "Servant." The world says, no, no, no. You want to be great? Be the boss. You want to be great? Try to get as many people as you can doing what you want them to do. You want to be great? Give the orders. You want to be great? Play the big shot. You want to be great? Have other people serve you. Jesus said no. Jesus said no. The gateway to greatness is sacrifice. Now that's a revolutionary concept that is quite foreign to the 21st century American mindset, but it doesn't change the fact that it is true. Is Jesus a liar? Yes or no? Then is what he's saying, is it true? Is it true that the way to be great is to serve? If Jesus said it, is that true? Yes. But not only did Jesus teach it, but what else did he do? He lived it. He lived it out, man. He lived out what he taught. He went to the cross for us. In Matthew 20, verse 28, it's up on the screen here. Jesus said, "Even as the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." He said, "I didn't come to be served. I came to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many." Man, if anybody had the right to be served, it was Christ. But yet he said, "I didn't come to be served. I came to serve others. And ultimately, I came to give the greatest sacrifice of all. I came to die on the cross as a ransom." Jesus is the pace setter. Jesus demonstrates for us that sacrifice is the gateway to greatness. And that's what we've been called to do. You know, years ago they came out with these bracelets. JD. Yeah, that's it. WWJD. Does anybody remember what that stand for? I don't know if they have those anymore. But what would Jesus do? And people would put that on their bracelet and they'd put it around their neck, all that, you know, and bumper stickers. What would Jesus do? And that became a very popular thing. They got it from the verse that's in your handout. That's where they got the concept. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. And notice, though, the context of the verse. It says, Peter said, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also" what? "Suffered for us." Say those three words real loud. "Suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." So the context of that, what would Jesus do? The context of that, about following in his steps, it has to do with following him in his suffering, his sacrifice. That's the context of it. Every believer must follow Christ's teaching and example and believe that sacrifice, that's the gateway to greatness. I want to show you from the Bible what you can expect when you believe and practice that truth. Number one in your handout is this: your sacrifice brings reward. Say that real loud. Your sacrifice brings what?
Reward.
You know, you look at a young person in the Olympics and they got a gold medal from the Olympics hanging around their neck. And you think, man, I wish I could win a gold medal at the Olympics. Oh, yeah? Let me tell you, there's a lot of sacrifice that went into winning that medal. A lot of sacrifice. They worked and they labored tirelessly for hours and hours and hours and day after day after day. And when they felt like they couldn't go on, they felt like they were going to die, they kept training and they kept working. There's a whole lot of sacrifice that went into that. But the sacrifice brings reward. You know, you look at a musician and you look at somebody like Miss Rochelle and she plays a beautiful piece on the piano. And we say, man, I wish I could play the piano like that. Oh, yeah? Are you willing to sacrifice like she does? Are you willing to practice for hours and hours every day? I see her up here, even at the level she's attained. I still see her all the time up here at the church. And she sneaks in here during the week. And she's in here just to practicing away on the piano. Even after all these years, she's still giving of herself and sacrificing so that she could play the piano. I think one of the greatest sacrifices is when a mother gives birth to a child. Those of you in here, ladies, who have ever done that, we hit the button a little quick. Oh, well. A little quick on the trigger there. But when you sacrifice, you know what, ladies? It wasn't a picnic when you gave birth, was it? But would you agree with me that the reward is worth it, huh? The reward is worth the sacrifice. You see, that's a principle in life, is that sacrifice brings reward. We can take the picture down now. You know, there's a principle that I want to look at in terms of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. When you think about what Christ sacrificed on that cross, the brutality that he endured, the violence he endured, the insults, the blasphemous things that people said to him on that cross. The humiliation, stripping him naked in front of everybody and then hanging him on a cross for everybody to mock and jeer. The ultimate death on the cross where he had to actually be separated from fellowship from the Father for 3 hours on that cross when darkness covered the land. And the Bible teaches that the wrath of God was poured out on him spiritually. The wrath of God that we should receive for our sin, he received that wrath on that cross for you and I. He became sin for us on the cross so that you and I could be saved. You think about all that he went through, how that he left the comforts of heaven. He left the glory that he had in heaven. He left the riches of heaven, came down to the earth, and went through all that brutality, all the sacrifice. But wait a minute. You know, when we were singing that song, he wore the thorns. And there's a line in here in this song where it talks about how he laid his glory down. He wore the thorns so that he could give me a crown. But then it goes on in the song, if you heard it this morning, where the choir was singing, it goes on to say, but the story does not end. The story doesn't end with the cross. You know, sometimes I kind of hate it when I see pictures or I see things where Jesus is still hanging all defeated up on the cross. Aren't you glad the story doesn't end with the cross, church? And it goes on, it says, the story does not end because the grave could not hold him. And through his sacrifice, we receive the crown of life. My friend, the story doesn't end with the cross. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. 40 days later, he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And I want to show you what happened once he ascended. Go to Philippians chapter 2. And I want you to notice verse 9. I'll tell you what, let's go up to verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, now the story doesn't end there. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Go back with me to the book of Ephesians. Go back one book to the left and go to Ephesians chapter number 1. The story doesn't end with the cross. Oh, there was great reward that came. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 20. Ephesians 1 verse 20. It says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And notice, he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus Christ made an incredible sacrifice on the cross, but because of that sacrifice, he is now able to save to the uttermost those that come to God through him. Look in your handout, Hebrews 7, verse 25 in your handout. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. He ever liveth. He ever liveth. Yes, he died on the cross. Yes, he made an incredible sacrifice. But he's not dead anymore. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. And now you and I can be saved from our sin. All of us in here owe a sin debt that we had absolutely no way of paying. He went to that cross and he offered himself as a sacrifice on the cross, and there he died and made a full and complete payment for your sin and for my sin. But because of that, now there's a basis on which God can forgive our sin, and that's the sacrifice he made for you on the cross. Listen, when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible says that Jesus Christ loved us and he gave himself for us. Aren't you glad to know we can go to heaven now? We can be saved. We can be saved from our sin. We can go to heaven now. Why? Because Jesus made a sacrifice for you and I. We can be saved to the uttermost. Saved to the uttermost because of that. His sacrifice brought reward. You know that same principle holds true for you? Let me ask you something. When you sacrifice for the Lord, do you think there's a reward involved, yes or no? That's something important to know, isn't it? Did you know that Jesus taught there is a reward for those who sacrifice for him? I want you to look up at the screen and notice Matthew chapter number 5, where Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your what? Reward in heaven. Look with me at the next verse. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 4 says, that thine alms may be in secret. Now, alms means you're giving. You're giving of your material goods to others. Okay? He says, that thine alms may be in secret. I mean, when the offering plate comes by in church, and you give, you do it in secret, right? You don't stand up and say, woo, look what I'm giving everybody. Can everybody up in the balcony see it? You know. No, when you give in secret. But notice, and thy Father, which what? Seeth in secret, himself shall what? Reward thee openly. You're in the book of Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Turn over to chapter number 6. This is all throughout. Look at the teaching here. Look at verse 7. Get the teaching. Get the teaching. You got to get it. There's reward for service. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 7. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Now let me stop there. I can't physically serve Christ. He's in heaven. I mean, I cannot physically do something for him. He's up in heaven in the glories of heaven. The way I serve him is by serving others. I sacrifice for others. Now, if I do something over here for Pastor Rob to be a blessing to him, and I give of myself to him, I don't do it as to Rob. In other words, I'm not doing it so Rob will pat me on the back and think I'm wonderful and think I'm great. Or maybe I do it and think, man, if I do something for him, maybe he'll do something even better for me. I don't do it that for that reason. That'd be doing it as unto Rob. No, I don't. When I give to Rob, I do it as to who? Come on, get with me now. I do it as to who? The Lord. And notice, if my heart's right, If I'm doing it as to the Lord, as I give to Rob, look what the Bible says in verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he, and what's the next phrase there? Receive of the Lord. Receive of the Lord. Man, that is amazing. What I do in my service for the Lord, if I do it with a right heart, Bible says I'll receive it back from the Lord. Not necessarily here on earth. He's talking about up in heaven, our ultimate reward. Look with me at, you're in Ephesians. Go to the right, two books. Go to Colossians. Go back through Philippians and go to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. Here it is again. Look at verse 23. Come on now, get with me. Apply your mind and heart. Let's not waste our time. Let's get this. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Here it is again. I do it as to the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the what? There it is, reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. When you sacrifice for the Lord or for others with a sincere heart, God won't forget it. It truly touches the heart of God. Let me say it again. When you sacrifice for the Lord, it touches the heart of God. He will not forget it. Say, how do you know? One of my favorite verses. It's at the bottom of your handout. Look at it. Hebrews 6:10. One of my favorite verses. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God will not forget. Now, may people forget. Yeah. You know, they say the people you do the most for, you know, they don't appreciate it. And there's a lot of truth in that. I've been serving the Lord here at Crossroads over 20 years, and sometimes there's a lot of truth in that. You give and you give and you give to some folks, and people have short memories. They forget all the things you've done, and then if you mess up one time or you forget something one time, then you know, they're done with you. They forget all the things that you've done in the past for them. That's just part of it. Human nature. That's just the deal, you know. But you know what's precious to me is that people may forget what you do for them, but aren't you glad to know God will not forget? He is not unrighteous to forget it. He's not unrighteous to forget it. I remember back when we first got married, we moved here. I was on staff making very little. We struggled. You know, I mean, it was a struggle just to survive. You know, can probably associate with that. You first get married. Denise and I moved down here, and I was on staff, and I was an assistant pastor. And I remember there was a guy that I met in the church who really gave me a sob story, told me he was struggling, told me he had to have, I think it was like almost $300, he had to have for something or this was going to happen. And man, it just, you know, pulled on my heartstrings. And he said, I promise you, I'm going to pay you back next week. He said, I'm going to be getting in some money and I'm going to pay you back, but I got to have the $300 or I'm going to get kicked out of the place I'm living or whatever the story was. I don't remember all the details. And I went to Denise, and she's got a tender heart too, and she's like, oh, well, let's help him, you know. And so we took, I mean, that was probably about everything we had, you know, in reserve. And so we took it, and we gave it to the guy. And I'm thinking, you know, man, this is going to be wonderful. He's going to be able to pay his bill, and then he's going to pay me back, and it's just all going to be so wonderful. Well, guess what? I went back 2 days later, and guess what? He's gone. He's history. Never saw him again. Y'all thought this was going to end in a great story. 10 years later, he came back and gave me the money, right? No. Never seen the man again. This doesn't end happy, okay? It's not a happy ending. Gone. But you know what's really cool to me? Is I know I did that with a right heart. And you know, I bet that guy doesn't even remember me. I bet you that he has long forgot that. But aren't you glad God will not forget it? God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the labor of love that you've showed toward his name in that you've ministered to the saints. You've served. There's an old song from years ago that I remember that says, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." Aren't you glad it will be worth it all? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. The cross teaches us a very important principle. Sacrifice brings reward. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God through Him. Why? Because of His sacrifice. Sacrifice brings reward. Number two, your sacrifice leads to joy. Your sacrifice leads to joy. You know, I've got a picture here on the screen of that's our graduating class of our teenagers in our youth group that graduated from different high schools around town. And so every year, Pastor Rob honors the graduates. We have a service here where we take all the graduates from our youth group that are graduating from different high schools in the area, and we have a night where we honor them. It's hard to believe we're going to be doing that next month again. But this was last year. This was the graduating class last year of different seniors in our youth group. And you know, there's one thing there that they all have in common. Can anybody tell me what it is? There's one thing they all have in common. What is it? They're all smiling. They're all happy. They all got joy. Why? There was a lot of sacrifice that goes into being able to wear that funny looking hat. But you know what? That sacrifice, all those years of school, end up leading to great joy when you're able to get that diploma and know, I finished my course. I did it. I accomplished what I set out to accomplish way back in kindergarten. I did it. And the sacrifice leads to joy. And you see that throughout life, is that many times a sacrifice up front, it leads to joy later. Sacrifice leads to joy. I want you to do this with me. Again, our focus is the cross. When we think of sacrifice, I think of the cross. And we know that the cross teaches us that sacrifice brings reward. Yes, He sacrificed greatly, but it brought great reward because of what Christ went through. And now He's able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God through Him. Now, the second principle is sacrifice leads to joy. Does the cross teach us that? Yes, it does. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter number 12. Now, you're going to go to the right several books from Colossians. Go to the right several books till you find Hebrews. Go to chapter number 12 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, and notice verse number 2. Okay, we're going to focus on verse 2. Hebrews 12, 2. Look at it with me. It says here, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith," I'm in verse 2, "who for the joy that was set before Him," what did He do for the joy that He saw out there in the future? What did He do? He endured the cross. The cross wasn't fun. The cross wasn't pleasurable. The cross wasn't He said, "Father, you know, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me." Talk about the cup of the cross. The cup of God's wrath having to be poured on Him. And He said, if there's, you know, He cried great tears before He went to the cross. The cross wasn't a picnic. The cross wasn't a joy. The cross wasn't a delight. But for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. Look at it. And He's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's that reward again. Jesus saw clearly the joy that was set before Him. And He knew that His sacrifice would lead to joy. So He endured it and He made the sacrifice. Think about the joy that Christ has every single time a believer dies on earth and goes to heaven. Knowing that His sacrifice is what made it possible. Think about the joy He has in heaven right now. You know, there's a verse I read at Leona's funeral. "Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints." For the Lord, it's a precious thing when a believer dies and goes to heaven. You know why? Think about the joy. Christ knows is because of my sacrifice on that cross that these folks can come into heaven. Sacrifice leads to joy for the joy that was set before Him. This is the principle of deferred gratification. You say, what in the world's that? Deferred gratification. In your handout, it says, that's when you make a sacrifice up front because of the joy it will bring you later. You make a sacrifice up front because of the joy that it's going to bring you later. Notice the words of Christ here to his disciples. If you look at the screen, everybody look up here, John 15, 10, and 11. Jesus said, if you keep my, say it with me, commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now let's go to the next one. These things have I spoken unto you, these commandments. Notice that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Let me ask you a question. Is it always pleasing to the flesh to obey God? Well, no. It's not always. Sometimes your flesh wants to do something else. This morning, your flesh may have enjoyed the beach more than this. Some of you are like, amen. Don't amen right there, okay? Even if you thought it, don't say it. But you know what? Here's the deal. While your flesh may have enjoyed the beach more than this, let me ask you a question. When we're all done, if you've listened and you've gained something from God's Word and you've learned some things about God you didn't know before, will that bring joy to your heart? Yeah. I've had a lot of people tell me before, you know, sometimes I have to drag myself to church. My flesh doesn't want to go. But you know what? Every time I go, when it's all done, I'm glad I went. That's the principle of deferred gratification. Instead of doing what's going to immediately please me, I do something that may be a sacrifice. Why? Because of the joy it's going to bring me later. If a guy or a girl that's a teenager make a decision, I'm going to keep myself pure. Well, the flesh says, no, I want to do what makes me feel good now. But then you say, no, I'm going to keep myself pure till I'm married. And on my marriage night, that's God's wedding present to a married couple, is that sexual intimacy. So you say, I'm going to keep myself pure until God gives me that wedding gift on my marriage date. Now, there may be some sacrifice involved. It may be that a girl loses her boyfriend because she's not going to do that. It may be the other way around, that the guy loses the girl. It may be that. But you know what? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that young person that keeps themselves pure, do you think they'll be happy on their marriage night? Absolutely. Deferred gratification. I make a sacrifice up front because of the joy it's going to bring me later. And in your handout, it says, when you obey God's commands, there is a sacrifice involved. Sure there is. But Jesus taught that ultimately they bring joy in the long run. They bring joy in the long run. It's like you go to youth camp, and you're a leader at youth camp. You go to youth camp to help. And now, is there a sacrifice involved going out and spending a week with 100 teenagers at a stinking, filthy, nasty, humid, hot camp? Is there a sacrifice? Yes. In case you've never been, yes, there is a sacrifice involved. But boy, when you see that teenager at that camp turn their heart over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see them weeping, and you see them crying, because now they've got the peace of God in their heart, then you begin to understand how your sacrifice leads to joy. When you see that teenager decide, you know what, I'm going to lay aside these destructive things in my life because of what I've heard here at camp, then you begin to realize my sacrifice leads to joy. It leads to joy. The opposite of deferred gratification is instant gratification. You know what that is? I want to feel good now. I don't care what God's commands are. I don't care what God says. I want to do what pleases me. I want to do what's going to make me feel good now. I want to have this illicit affair at work. That's going to make me feel good. That's going to gratify me now. Without giving any thought to the repercussions and what's going to happen later. And when we fail to understand this principle of deferred gratification, that I'm going to sacrifice and keep God's commands for the joy it brings me later, like Christ did, when we fail to do that, then what happens is we want this instant gratification, and we don't realize all that's going to do is bring you guilt, it's going to bring you condemnation, and it's going to bring you destruction later on. The cross teaches us that sacrifice leads to joy. Sacrifice brings reward. Number three, last point. Your sacrifice equals impact. You think back through history, and those who have made the biggest impact are those who paid the biggest price. They were willing to sacrifice. One of the principles that the cross teaches us is that sacrifice equals impact. I want you to go to Hebrews. You're already there. Will you turn with me back to chapter 2, please? Chapter 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Turn back there. And I want to see a few verses here about Christ. First, I want to see the sacrifice. Look at verse 9, and you're going to see the sacrifice that Christ made. Look at verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little... Now notice this, he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste what? Death for every man. Now think about this. Jesus Christ was made lower than the angels. You say, how? Because he took on a flesh and blood body like you and I have. Why? So that he could take that body and give it on the cross for our sin. Because of his sacrifice, though, he was able to accomplish some extraordinary, unprecedented things. Look down at verse 14. For as much then as the children also are partakers of flesh and blood, that's us, he also himself took part of the same. He took on flesh and blood. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is, who did he destroy? Because of his sacrifice... Now he's able to destroy Satan, who had the power of death. Look at verse 15. And not only can he destroy Satan, he's able to deliver them. That's us, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hey, are you afraid of death? You afraid to die? You know, think about it. If you're not afraid to die today, there's only one reason, and that's because of what Christ has done for you. Because of his sacrifice... He impacted you in that you don't have to fear death anymore. Look down at verse number 18. For in that he himself hath suffered. He himself hath suffered being tempted. He is able to succor. That means comfort them that are tempted. Now he's able to comfort you when you go through suffering. Why? Because he suffered. Notice the impact. Look at verse 10. For it became him... For whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory. Now he can take many sons, bring them unto glory. He can take us to heaven. He can take multitudes of people to heaven now and we can be part of the family of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he sacrificed. Had Christ not been willing to sacrifice on the cross, none of those wonderful truths would be possible. We'd all be in bondage to Satan. We would all fear death. We'd have no way to have our sins forgiven. There'd be no way for us to go to heaven. Sacrifice equals impact. Remember this, the sacrifices that you make for God are making an impact on people and on eternity. And just as Jesus Christ gave himself as a sacrifice to die on that cross for us, God is calling you to offer yourself as a sacrifice. Not by dying on a cross. He already did that. You know how you sacrifice for the Lord? It's not by dying. It's by living unto him. It's by living your life unto him and accomplishing his purposes for your life. Will you look in your handout? Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your... Now follow this. God wants you to present your what? Your body a what? Not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Can I have your attention just for a moment? Can you point... to any area of your Christian life that's an area of sacrifice for your Lord and Savior? Now, don't answer out loud. Think about that. Is there any area of your life you can point to and say, you know, that's an area where I really sacrifice for the Lord? Sacrifice is the gateway to greatness. You see, God wants you to touch other people's lives. But I'm going to be honest with you. If you're going to touch other people's lives, it is going to require that you give something of yourself. There's no other way. Sacrifice equals impact. You are not going to be able to impact other people's lives without giving of yourself. Think about this in terms of your marriage. Think about this in terms of your coworkers. Think about this, these principles in terms of the teens at school that you go to school with, or maybe at college, or your friends, your children. Sacrifice equals impact. On the other hand, selfish people, they don't impact anybody. Selfish people don't impact anybody. You know what selfish people do? Selfish people, they live for themselves. It's all about me. It's about what's going to make me feel good. It's about what I want to do. It's about me, man. What I want to do, how I want to feel, where I want to go, what I want to do. All of us at our core, we can be selfish people. Part of that sin nature is just to be selfish. We want our way. We want what's going to make us feel good now. And you know, selfish people, they don't impact other people's lives unless it's negatively. Selfish people live for themselves, die to themselves, and then maybe a few people show up at their funeral because they feel like they got to go. And that's about it. Very few tears. But when you give of yourself, when you live a sacrificial life for others, it brings reward, it brings joy, it brings eternal impact. Oh, my friend, the cross teaches us this. People in eternity will be grateful for your sacrifice. Listen, I'm going to be honest, sometimes you can get discouraged. Some of you in here are servants for the Lord, and you do so much for the Lord, and it's so easy to get discouraged, and we think, man, is it worth it? Is it worth the sacrifice? Man, I could take that money that I'm sacrificially giving to the Lord, and man, I could go out and have a nicer car or a bigger home or this or that. Man, the time I'm giving to serve the Lord, I could be going out doing something I want to do. I could be going out and having some fun. And the next time you get discouraged and you think, is this even worth it? When you get discouraged because of your sacrifices, remember the cross. Remember the cross. Remember the cross. And remember that the cross teaches us that sacrifice brings reward, sacrifice brings joy later on, and sacrifice equals impact. The next time you're discouraged, remember the cross and keep keeping on serving the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you have been discouraged. You've been serving the Lord and you feel like, well, nobody notices, nobody appreciates it, nobody cares. Well, we learned this morning, God notices and God cares. Maybe you're here this morning and there's really not an area of your life where you can point to where you sacrifice for the Lord. Why don't you surrender yourself to God right now? Say, Lord, here I am. I want to serve you. I want to serve others. I want to have a servant's heart. I want to be like you, Jesus. And why don't you surrender to Him and get involved serving the Lord. Get involved serving God. There's nothing like it.